Malcolm Blight and David Wildey, Sports ASA, all thanks to Weeks Homes, discovered different. It's our Wimbledon update too for Tyre Power, with family safety rates number one, and no better than a man that's coached a lot of the top players. Mm. How's this for some names? Wilfred Tsonga, Gael Monfils, Leighton Hewitt, Grigor Dimitrov.
Yes.
Some terrific names there. Might not get Dimitrov right, but let's welcome him. Roger Rashid. Hi, Rog. How are you?
Good, Wills. Malcolm, how are you, boys? And yeah, you're lucky to get some good horses that have got some firepower, and then you got to, you know, I guess, as you know, Blighty, you got to have something about you that can stay through the journey. So yeah, you're always lucky to have some good cattle, aren't you?
Hey, yeah. Roger, I want to put you on the spot here because we know the unbelievable talent of Nick Kyrgios. We'll talk about him in a moment, but out of those names I mentioned, Leighton obviously number one in the world, but Monfils and Tsonga, who had the most what you'd consider just outright talent, just unbelievable things? Who was one of the four there?
Yeah, it's interesting. I guess talent's an interesting word, isn't it? Like, is it legitimate firepower that you go and you've got the big weapons there? And so if you're looking at that, you'd probably say, you know, Gael probably had some big weapons, so too did Joe Wilfred Tsonga, and then Grigor, and you'd go Leighton, you know, didn't have the obvious weapons to the naked eye as a sporting observer, but when you then drill down on all the little things that make you great, obviously Leighton's got a package that actually put together, plus his competitive nature. Yeah, but, you know, Gael was probably the best athlete that's played the game, no doubt about that. And, you know, as I said, the backgrounds matter. How you get there? How do you see the tennis court as well? You know, through your lens, what does the court look like? We all see it differently. We all see a sporting arena differently, and everyone has a bit of a different purpose. But it's great fun to have athletes, as you know, Malcolm, to coach that have legitimate weapons and more than one, because you can actually play the game. You know, you can really play the game. You're not looking at sort of safety areas and trying to hide things.
Actually, Roger, I mean, it's fascinating what you just said about talent. I've always thought there are two things. There's ability. Ability is, you know, what you're born with. You're short, you're tall, you're quick, you know, you're strong. Mum and dad gave you ability. Talent is the understanding of what you need to do to get to the next level above ability, and that is all the losing, all the winning, all the hard work.
Yeah.
So I've always, I mean, if you look up in the dictionary, ability and talent are two different descriptions. Ability, as I said, but talent's the real key.
Yeah, and I think the enthusiasm for that part, that second part that you said, Malcolm, you know, actually doing that work, the daily enthusiasm, the ability to want to, do you love competing? Do you love the journey of the competitor, the day in, day out, and knowing that down the road, if you can keep to the process, you'll have your time in the sun. There's a whole lot of things that make it different. And having a sound body, I think, and a great team around you is really important. Having people that give you a level of belief that I can get there. And as you know, as the funnel gets to the tight part, you know, that we're a bit more anxious of, are we good enough? I think that plays a big part as well. But the one-on-one sport's tough like that, because you don't have interchange, and you've got to be able to own that mental space as much as anything.
A lot of people can't stand Kyrgios. A lot of people love him. I don't know what camp you're in, but where does Kyrgios sit in the pool of talent or / ability? Where does he fit?
Well, complete dangerous ability. I mean, he's danger. You know, he's got weapons on every. But there's not one part of the court, boys, that he can't hurt you on. So when you look up the other, when you're up the other end and you go, okay, I can go to his forehand side, oh, that's dangerous. He can hit a clean, cold winner. If I go to his backhand, he can lean on it, he flattens it down the line, he can drive it, he changes the pace, you know, from 100 km to 160 km. So there's not too many athletes that can change the speed of the ball so dramatically without looking like they are. Then he comes into net, he understands the net game well and how to shut down the real estate around there. And wow, he's got a serve, which is probably, I think, the best three that's ever lived, that serve. He can put it where he wants, when he wants. And he's got this really loose way of playing. So the tension in his body is not there. And, you know, yes, sure, he tightens up at times, but he's got such a fluid body when he goes to line up and serve that weapon there. When you're not looking at, when you're looking after half the points before you actually start on your service game, you're virtually very hard to play, and that's why he gets himself out of trouble. So, yeah, he's one of those unique tennis players. There's no doubt about that.
Roger, I caught the Alex de Minaur and Garin game. I thought Alex would win it by the length of the straight, but he ended up getting beat, which is to my surprise. But how will Kyrgios... I mean, Kyrgios will start favourite against this guy, won't he?
Yeah, most definitely. Garin's, you know, he's 26, now he's Chilean. He's quite strong. You know, when you're born on clay, you get a strong body, strong physique. So he can give the ball a bit of a nudge, and that's where he actually hit his way back into the tennis match against. Look, he'll be disappointed. He shouldn't have lost that match. He's, you know, he beat him in straight sets only a few weeks ago. On grass, he hasn't won any grass court matches, and so it was a real turn up. And Alex just couldn't close, and he also didn't have. He had a couple of match points, but he didn't have that go-to free point. Where do I buy a free point from when I'm when it's not quite happening and I can't quite close out? That's what Nick does. He's a disruptor on the other side of the court because you don't get to play how you would like to with any rhythm. It's an unknown, and you spend a lot of time moving from side to side where he takes the racket out of your hand and you're there for the ride as far as if he locks in. So the mental side of the game is very difficult to control when you're playing Nick. And you need a good start. You need to get on top of someone like Nick and make him have to really sort of, I guess, roll his sleeves up and get dirty. And then see what cut, you know.
I guess Roger Rashid. Roger, give us a snapshot on Nick, what you know of him, because he's a contrasting character. On one hand, he says he couldn't care less what people think. He stuffed them, I'll do it my way, I'll wear this, I'll do that. Yet only a couple of months ago, he revealed he's in a very dark place. He thought about, he had suicidal tendencies, had all this sort of thing. So what is the real Nick Kyrgios? You know him a lot better than we do.
I'm not sure if he's worked it out yet.
Yeah.
You know, it's constantly evolving. I mean, I'd be sort of, you know, I think what we see, I mean, obviously I know Nick, but I don't know the day-to-day operations of what he really thinks, how he, you know, what he really sees, you know, how he sees life and all those sort of things. Yes, it's tricky for him. Yes, he's an emotional young man. There's good there, but there's also a side which is sort of the polar opposite where he's, you know, he probably takes the game into a territory where, you know, obviously a lot of people haven't, you know, Pat Cash made some really strong comments a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think there's a thing where we actually got to treat, you know, my biggest thing is treat people the same way under the code that you play. So whatever sport you play, you know, you've got officials, they're part of the game. You've got ball kids, you've got sponsors, they're all part of the game. And yeah, as players, you know, it's a tough environment and we do get a bit antsy at times, but there's a level of respect which is really important, and you can move the needle by playing great tennis and respecting the code. And no one's saying you need to be vanilla. We want all sorts of characters, but there's got to be a level of respect attached to it. And I guess through him getting through his age groups, and he's now 27, you know, if he can bring that into the rest of his career where he actually respects everybody because they've got a position, I think that'll do him a lot of service. But we're sort of yet to see that on a daily basis.
Roger, I said earlier in the week, one of the things that really annoyed me about him, I tell you, he can play. I mean, he plays some extraordinary shots. But he had a crack at a linesman. Now, as I said at the time, I don't know if it was a lady or a man, and he said, well, he or she was old, so therefore we should get someone else. I mean, that's just so disrespectful.
Yep.
That bloody annoys me about people.
Yep.
Big heads like that annoy me. He doesn't need to say that, because he's going to be old one day, and he'll be very old in tennis very shortly.
100% agree with you, Blighty. I mean, that's the thing that I'm talking about. So you've got officials there. It doesn't mean that they're a certain age and that means their eyesight. You know, they're actually there. You can have young people on. You know, you can have 22-year-olds, 25-year-olds. It doesn't really matter. It's just that fact. So that's the part that I don't like. And I think the sport needs to take hold of that part, and the umpires need to decide to have a little bit more respect for what they do by putting down, you know, look what we're doing with AFL at the moment, you know, and how we're actually, you know, we're trying to make sure that, you know, we do have umpires, we do have people in junior sporting games umpiring, and so I think we need to take a bit of a stronger hand on how that's delivered, because it does look like a level of entitlement. There's no doubt about that. It's not how you'd like your you know, you can be a good role model, but that's not how you want a role model. You know, you don't want kids growing up thinking that they can actually, you know, do that and say that, and whether you want to be the role model or not. So, yeah, I totally agree with you. Dislike that as strongly as you do. And that's the part I think, if he could straighten that area up, we don't mind if he has the outburst. Well, you know, every player's different. Go and battle hard, and then we're all fine with that. But I think it's the other side of the coin which we don't like.
Are you on the Novak Djokovic?
How would you coach him, Blighty? Hey, Blighty, how would you coach him, Blighty? That would be he'd be an interesting player. What would you have done with him?
Yeah, I'll tell you what. There'd only be one way, and it'd be my way. That's what I learned about coaching, mate. And I know that in individual sport, as you've mentioned, it's entirely different. I mean, you know, he generates his own stuff, whereas in my role, it was a team game. So you had to toe the line a lot of it.
Yep.
And Blighty was a man.
Yeah. Well, it's a reason.
He's saying he was a man that took Gary Ablett to the top of a bridge and said, you want to go that way or this way? And that arguably one of the greatest players of all time, Gary Ablett Sr. So, yeah, that was his way. And I think Gary Ablett said, yeah, I'll do it your way, Blighty.
Yeah, so, but it is a different game.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Hey, just in closing, Rog, you tip, does Novak win or you reckon there's a few more chances?
I think, look, he plays Sinner, which is going to be an outstanding game of tennis. I mean, young Sinner's, you know, he's an Italian who's young, really plays well. I think Novak gets him. Novak's definitely the favourite. Rafa up the other end. Rafa, you know, I'll be interested to see how he goes. He's slowly like Popeye. He's got every match he wins is a bit more spinach. He gets a bit stronger, and that's the way he actually sees these tournaments. There's no doubt about that. He actually, if you listen to his press conferences, he talks about how my ball feels faster now. I like the way my ball's feeling off the racket. So he motivates him. He puts positive spins on it. I think Novak and Ons Jabeur on the women's side, I think she's really good. She's a third seed. Love the way she plays all court, and I think she'll go a long way to winning her first title.
Great stuff, Roger Rashie there. Always good to speak to Roger about tennis, and we're talking about Wimbledon and can Kyrgios go all the way? Well, we'll find out in a few days' time.
Yeah, well done, Roger. Now, if you're running a small to medium business as a builder, renovator or tiler, Beaumont Tiles wants to help you. Head to icanwin.com.au and you could win a $25,000 advertising package to promote and grow your business. icanwin.com.au.
Blighty, that's it for us again. Good to see you back after your week off. I'm happy to be back just here, and thanks to Michael too in Melbourne in the studio. But big show. We had Mickey Godden, Roger Rashid, and spoke a lot about Nick Kyrgios and, of course, football. See you tomorrow between 6 and 7. Bye for now.
Bye, David.